This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough.
Good afternoon. This is Mission Breakthrough. Today, we are talking about the reality of angels. One morning during the Great Depression, while my father was away at work, someone knocked on the back door of our home. I opened it and saw a cleanly dressed individual standing there. "I'm not a beggar," he said, "but I am hungry. Will you feed me?" "Yes," replied my mother as she came to the door. "Come in." While the meal was being prepared, the stranger sat at our table and talked about the wonderful truths in the Bible. He asked God's blessing on the food before he began to eat, and after he had finished. Then he arose, looked at us for a few seconds, and walked out the door, closing it behind him. My mother was the first to speak after he left. "Children, I have a very strange feeling about that visitor," she said. Quickly she opened the door and we all went out. But the stranger was nowhere to be seen. We looked into the street and all around the house. We searched fast. We searched diligently. But we could not find him. As I think now about that incident from my boyhood years ago, Pastor Lester Summerill writes, he says he could not forget to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. That's found in Hebrews 13 verse 2. Could that have been an angelic visitor to our home? I can't be sure, of course, but I do know that the Bible establishes beyond all doubt the reality of angels. When we examine the Old Testament, for example, we find that angels are mentioned 108 times. Angels intervened in the lives of the patriarch Abraham and Jacob, as the book of Genesis indicates. Moses also knew the ministry of angels in his own life, both in his call to return to Egypt and after the wilderness wanderings. In all, the word angel or angels appears in the book of the law, the writings of Moses, a total of 32 times. If you turn to the books of history and read of angels' activity in Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, and in 1 and 2 Chronicles, some 37 references to the work and ministry of angels relate to the development of the kingdom of Israel. Those who wrote the books of poetry continued to unfold the existence of angels. The oldest book of the Bible, Job, speaks of angels. And you can look those up in Job 4, verse 18. And frequently the Psalms describe angels as protecting and delivering God's people from all kinds of dangers. And with the exception of Jeremiah, all the other major prophets alluded to the ministry of angels. And the writer Daniel gave us the names of two angels, Gabriel. You can look that up in Daniel 9, 20-27, and Michael. Of the minor prophets, Hosea and Zechariah speak of angels. The Old Testament writers did not feel it necessary to offer formal proof of angels or argue for the reality. Instead, the angels are assumed to exist just as God is assumed to exist. The Old Testament alone would be sufficient to establish the fact of angels. But the New Testament continues to enlarge our knowledge of angelic beings. In fact, although the New Testament is far shorter than the Old, angels are mentioned there even more often, a total of 165 times. The Gospels are filled with references to them, and 6 times in the Book of Acts, angels ministered to the Lord's people. And in Acts 5, verses 18 to 20, you may find that. The writer of half the epistles, Paul, wrote of angels in many of the books that bear his name. James and Peter wrote of them in their letters too. The last division of the New Testament, the Revelation, refers to angels no fewer than 65 times. And later we will consider these references in detail. Surely all these mentions of the reality and ministry of angels are convincing, but there is also the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was he, of course, who created angels in the beginning. So it comes as no surprise that he believed in and taught the existence of angels. Angels are real. We know that with absolute certainty from the Bible and from the Son of God. But what are angels? And who are angels? Well, let's define them this way. Angels are created spirit beings. We know angels are created from reading Psalm 148, verses 2 to 5. It says, "Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created." We know angels are spirit beings because of the passages like Hebrews 1:14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Another helpful definition of angels comes through the Greek and the Hebrew words for them. Angel literally means messenger. Angels are the heavenly messengers of God, often delivering his messages to men and women. Now that we have looked at the reality of angels and have defined their name, let me give you a general overview of angels by making a number of angels are statements. No dying or death, and no death for them. First, angels are immortal. Some Sadducees once came to Jesus trying to trap him on the subject of the resurrection, an idea that they rejected. They wanted to know, so they said, about the case of a woman who had 7 husbands in succession. Whose wife would she be in the resurrection, they asked. And Jesus replied that in heaven people neither marry nor are given in marriage. Then he added, "Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels." Angels never get sick, never go to the hospital, and never die. You'll never read in a passage for an angel that has died. You'll never go to an angel's funeral. God created angels to live forever. Angels are of a high order. Do you remember from your school days how you learned to rank things in their proper order? A comes before B. 1 comes before 2. Life comes in order: human, animal, plant. And you can cite many other examples. But where do angels rank in the creational order of God? The Bible tells us that angels constitute a higher form than man. In Psalm 8, verse 5, it declares, "For thou hast made him," that is man, "a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." And in 2 Peter, chapter 2:11, we read that angels are greater in power and might than human beings. Even so, angels rank far below God himself. Lucifer, you will remember, was one of the angels who aspired to rise above God, as Isaiah 14 relates, but he failed. He didn't have that power. Sometimes when a child learns about angels, he may say, I'd like to be one. No, God has something far better for those who believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, one day in our exalted heavenly state, we will judge the angels. And be keen-minded. Well, angels are intelligent. Recently, a young man was interviewed on television, and it was said he was said to have had an IQ of 206. Marvellous. I wish I had that. That's simply amazing. But he wouldn't fare too well in a one-to-one confrontation with an angel. Angels have great intelligence. In 2 Samuel 14:20, we read about being wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth. There are some things, of course, that angels don't know, such as the hour of our Lord's return from heaven. Matthew 24:36. But angels want to know all they can about what God is doing. For example, they are trying to understand God's great plan of salvation for mankind. You can see that in 1 Peter 1:12. But I've never heard the expression smart as an angel, but perhaps we should coin it. My next heading is no sin, no stain. You see, angels are holy. When we consider that angels constantly dwell in the presence of God, we can well understand that they too must be holy. Mark 3, verse 38 speaks specifically of angels as being holy. That's the way God created them. Have you ever seen drawings of angels done by various artists? They are always pictured as being clothed in white, representing their purity as revealed in Scripture. And angels are innumerable. Men and women have often wondered how many angels there are. We are told that during the Middle Ages, some people used to stand around debating how many angels could stand on the head of a pin. That would be nothing but vain speculation, of course. But still our minds wonder how many angels God created. Once again, Scripture gives us a little information. In Hebrews 12:22, it speaks of those who are come into Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. The word innumerable means one thing, you cannot count them. The group is so vast that numbers cannot be assigned. The book of Job gives us the same idea in this reference to God's angelic armies. Is there any number of his armies? Job 25:3. And the shepherds were given an incredible view of the angelic multitudes on the night our Saviour was born. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Luke 2:13-14. How many angels came to take part in that announcement and call to worship? We do not know. Perhaps the entire sky, as far as the shepherds could see, was filled with the heavenly messengers. What a sight! No need for workouts. Angels are strong. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7, it tells us of the coming day when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. But why do they need to be strong? Because they will perform all the things for God that need to be done on the face of this earth. Perhaps Revelation 18 verse 1 gives us one good example. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Imagine that angel of superhuman strength lighting up the darkness with his appearance. Consider also Psalm 103 verse 20, which teaches that angels excel in strength. And outside the Godhead, there is no order of creation any stronger. Angels are able to give effectively with power because they were given that ability by God. Angels are invisible. Although men and women have seen angels many times, as recorded in the Bible, we must remember that angels are spirits and only take on forms visible to human beings on relatively rare occasions, when God has them to do so for some specific reason. We see an example of how they do God's work even when invisible to man in Numbers 22:22-31. Angels do not marry. We do not know why the Lord Jesus chose to tell us this, but in Matthew's Gospel we are informed that angels do not marry. We are not told anywhere in Scripture whether that there are even female angels, and it would be pointless to speculate about the matter. What we do know simply is that angels do not participate in the institution of marriage. The fact does tell us a little about angels' angelic service to God. However, especially in light of the Gospel, Paul's advice to Christians in 1 Corinthians 7, in that chapter he explained that it is good if one feels so led to remain unmarried in order to devote full attention to serving and pleasing God. The married person must please his spouse as well as God, but the single person can concentrate exclusively on the Lord. Therefore, since angels do not marry, they are free to give their full devotion to God. There are no distractions, no earthly companions whose pleasure they might seek above the Lord's. They can be single-minded in going about the purpose for which God created them. Sing for joy. Angels are joyful. Could angels possibly have long faces or be depressed? I think not, because of Luke 15 verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In this world there is somebody being saved every moment of the day. Somebody is finding God somewhere. Thus, what a good time angels must have. They are constantly filled with joy because of sinners, men and women like you and me. They are coming to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And when we consider that angels dwell in heaven with God and serve him in holiness, they have great cause indeed for joy. When we stop to consider how wonderful the angels are, we may feel that we ought to make a little statue and bow down to worship them. In a sense, that might have been the way the Apostle John felt when he was given all the tremendous insight he recorded in the book of the Revelation. Read what he wrote. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see that thou do not do it, in other words, do not worship me, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And so not only does the Bible say we must not worship angels, but it also says that angels do not want to be worshipped. And the Apostle Paul also spoke to the matter of angel worship. Let no man beguile you of your reward. In a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen. That's found in Colossians 2, verse 18. So if someone says to you, in effect, we ought to worship angels, don't listen to him. He's wrong. His teaching is contrary to God's word. Now, this has been just a brief introduction today to the great theme of angels. And although we looked at angels last month too, this is just a continuation of what we'll be looking at further in the following month. So remember that this is an important study. It is indeed, particularly in this time in which we live. And it is my belief that in these last days, we're going to see more angels, more of their work and power than at any other time since that recorded in Revelation. There are going to be tremendous things happening in the very near future, and we don't want, through unbelief or unconcern, to be blinded to or miss what God is doing in our time. May God bless you all.
Be the glory, great things he had done. So lofty the world, he gave us his son, who gave up his life, atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. To God be the glory, great things he had done. Perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son. Lift up his great name and tell everyone. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be the awe and the wonder when Jesus we see. To God be the glory, great things he hath done.
Blessed.